Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio's weekly wrap-up. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York, and for the next hour, we will be discussing the world of professional wrestling at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on the conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in our chat room, and we can take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Well, folks, quite a bit actually to talk about this week in the world of professional wrestling. We're going to start with, I guess, what many people would say is the good news, and that is apparently Aleister Black is scheduled to make his return to SmackDown, if not this week, then in the coming weeks very, very soon. Now, the report is that Aleister Black had been purposely kept off SmackDown, purposely kept off television for a while, in order that he make a dramatic comeback. Now, you can believe that if you want to believe that. I don't know. Maybe that's exactly why the WWE kept him off. But the timing is oddly coincidental with the fact that his wife was released, and he was persona non grata, and he was a little bit upset and had said some things. So, I think maybe they wanted to let cooler heads prevail. I think they wanted to just calm things down, make sure everybody was on the same page before going forward. I don't know what they have planned for Aleister Black. What they had planned for him prior to this was horrendous. Absolutely horrendous. And his first gimmick, which was his NXT gimmick, that made a little bit of sense down there, didn't really work in the WWE, where there were guys way, way bigger and way, way meaner looking than Aleister Black, who just simply couldn't carry off this demonic, satanic gimmick and really make it work for him. So unfortunately, we'll have to wait and see. Maybe not this week, maybe next week or the week after, to see what they have planned for Aleister Black. Now, personally, I think they're making a mistake bringing him back at all. You've destroyed him to the point where Kevin Owens was beating him in 3 minutes. And I don't know if you can rehab Aleister Black on SmackDown, on Raw, or even in the WWE. I think returning him to NXT would probably be your best move, especially when NXT is virtually starved for names, for bigger names that people already know and are following their career. I think Aleister Black would make a huge, huge splash going back to NXT, and would probably be a boost for the ratings, at least for temporarily. But again, they're not going to do it. Apparently he's going to show up on SmackDown. If I had to speculate, I would say that the WWE, who has zero creativity, is going to probably throw him right back into a feud with Kevin Owens, which means that we may know how Kevin Owens is losing at the Royal Rumble. That could happen, I guess. I don't know. I think they're missing the boat. NXT is floundering right now, and they can have all the Dusty Rhodes classics they want, and they can pull out all their bag of tricks. The simple fact is, when I talk to average wrestling fans and I mention some names, Timothy Thatcher and all these people, they're like, who? Who's that? Oh, yeah, an NXT guy, yeah, I watch that once in a while. Finn Balor's there, right? That's about it. I mean, that's literally what I get from what I would call the casual wrestling fan. It's not acceptable. NXT used to be filled with stars. Remember when they had Shinsuke Nakamura and Bobby Roode and Kevin Owens and Finn Balor and you name it? They now have who? And yet Aleister Black, who most likely will end up doing very little to nothing on SmackDown, maybe they'll give him one big feud and phase him out. Aleister Black, who was requested to go there numerous times, not being sent there. It's very unusual, Mike. I'm not sure what they got planned for Aleister Black, but I guarantee you it probably won't be as good as if they just returned him to NXT.
Absolutely. Absolutely, you know. They need to return him to NXT. And frankly, if they're not going to do that, just admit their mistake and, like, cut him. All right? Just let him go. Right? Because you know you're not going to do anything with him. And who knows? He might very well, like, do ratings, right? Do good ratings, right? Help him do better ratings, at least in the short term. Now, is it going to be much better than what they've been doing? Probably not. But, I mean, and we'll get into this in a little while, but look at the ratings for this past week versus AEW. But that's, we'll get into that in a minute. But yeah, they need to either fish a cut bait with him. If you got to change his gimmick, whatever, but do something with him. It's almost like you're paying him not to wrestle.
Yeah, and you know, here's the thing. They didn't do him any favors. They kept his gimmick. So they're going to say, well, we kept his gimmick, this satanic, whatever, Aleister Crowleyite sort of guy. And he floundered. Well, yeah, he floundered because you gave him some ridiculous thing to do sitting in a room saying, even though my job is to be a professional wrestler and to have as many matches as I can to work my way up the ladder, I'm going to sit in a dark room and wait till people knock on my door. Because that made so much sense. That was doomed from Jump Street. And by the way, you did that while he was a face. That would be a bully move. Knock this off my shoulder, right? Isn't that the bully move? You know, hey, I dare you to knock this off my shoulder. So I don't know. I don't know what they had planned for Aleister Black originally. Not very much, obviously. And he was protected for a short period of time under Paul Heyman. As soon as Paul Heyman was relieved of his duties as running Raw, Aleister Black went directly downhill. So I don't know, Todd. I mean, at this point, I would think anything, a name like that would certainly help NXT.
Oh, you're absolutely right there, like you said about Aleister Black and everything. Like you said, I would have done the same thing, too. I would bring him back to do NXT, and that's it. And they're not, but if they're probably bring him back, probably drop him out until his contract runs out or something.
Well, now I'll tell you this. Much like we talked about Enzo Amore being the main draw when the 205 live tour took place, a whopping two shows, and I was able to see one of them live. We went to an NXT event, and before the NXT event, they had a female, I guess she was an announcer, an interviewer, whatever you want to call her, welcome everybody. And then she went around to the ringside and she was asking, who did you come here to see? Who are you most looking forward to see? There were two people on the card that were mentioned. Just two. Asuka, who at the time was the women's champion, and Aleister Black. And they were mentioned equally. And I remember saying to everybody I was with, Todd was one of them, that's a good sign for Aleister Black. Because at the time, he was relatively new. And people had said, we came here to see him. We're looking most forward to see him. So I got to tell you, NXT is very forgiving when it comes to these things. I think if you put Aleister Black back in NXT, I do think you would get some increased ratings. Now, is it going to skyrocket him over AEW? No, it's not going to. Because just as I've said on the show many times, we now clearly see the difference. The difference is about 100,000, give or take. And when AEW goes up, traditionally, so does NXT. It's not like AEW gets 200,000 more viewers, NXT loses 100,000. That doesn't happen. It's NXT gets another 120,000 viewers, and AEW gets 120,000 viewers more than last week. NXT gets 65,000 more viewers than last week. When both are up, both are up. When both are down, both are down. They're not sharing the same fans. But let's be honest about this. NXT is competing with a major federation. NXT is still not a major federation. It's just not. Now, if you put SmackDown in that slot, Wednesday at 8 o'clock, AEW's done. They're going to get their 700,000, and SmackDown's going to get 2 million, too. It's not going to be close. So that's the real issue is, okay, AEW's beating NXT. But NXT is not the WWE in any way, shape, or form. AEW hasn't come close to even Raw's lowest ratings, really. So we have to take that into consideration. So it's not WWE versus AEW, it's NXT versus AEW. And even though NXT is under the auspices of WWE, it's a different show. And it doesn't feature those high-profile wrestlers. It just doesn't. And that's part of the reason. I'm going down the NXT card this week and I'm saying, how many people are tuning in to see, not that many. Sorry. They're not exactly household names. If you're, avid wrestling fans like we are, yeah, we know who they are. Absolutely. If you're the casual wrestling fan, you don't. I've made this analogy before. Go out onto the street and ask people, any person, I don't care. If it's a 65-year-old businessman with a attaché case or it's a kid on a skateboard, who's Stone Cold Steve Austin? And they're going to say, he's a wrestler, right? Ask him who Oney Lorcan is. Ask him who Timothy Thatcher is. Ask him who Johnny Gargano is. See what their answer is. It's not going to be the same percentage at all. Not at all. I don't care who you ask. Ask them who the champions are. It doesn't matter. It's not going to be the same percentage of people recognizing them from these guys like The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin and Hulk Hogan and Triple H. It's just not. Because they haven't been built up to be these big stars. Could NXT overtake AEW? Of course they could. How would you do that? Well, send down some of your big stars that you aren't even really using too much. If you send down some popular people down, I'm guaranteeing you, the tide would turn. I'm guaranteeing you. If you said, well, I don't know, we don't really seem to have too much more to do with the Fiend up here, the Fiend's going down to NXT, along with Alexa Bliss. All bets are off. It's that simple. So we can't get too high on this. We have to realize what they are competing with, and what they're competing with is not name brand. And if you want to go one for one, ask people who Chris Jericho is. Most people will know who Chris Jericho is. Even if they don't watch, most people will know. So there's name brand. Ask him who Sting is. Some people will say, isn't he a lead singer for the Police? But there'll be a lot of people who know it's the wrestler, too. So they've got some name recognition down there. You got Sting, Chris Jericho, and Matt Hardy. And they're competing against Timothy Thatcher, Oney Lorcan, Johnny Gargano. Just ask yourself, if you were at a convention, whose autograph line is the longest? Who would you think? Johnny Gargano, who I saw at a house show along with well, a couple other NXT guys, their lines weren't long. Or Sting. Or Jake the Snake Roberts. Or Matt Hardy. Or Chris Jericho. I'll tell you whose lines are going to be longer. So, of course, people are watching the show. I'll be honest with you. I don't know why AEW isn't doing more. If I owned AEW and I had this much name recognition, I'd say, why are we doing 700 and 800? Why can't we break that million on a regular basis? What's the problem? I wouldn't be dancing with delight that I'm beating a federation that has no real name recognizable talent except for maybe Finn Balor, who was never an A-lister. Not in this country, anyway. So, Mike, I think that's part of it. I think if they want to compete, if NXT wants to compete, they're going to have to get some name recognizable talent down there.
Right, and here's something else to think about. You went down that list of guys. I mean, to a lesser extent, Taz. You know, yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah. You're not going to know John Moxley, but when you see his face, that's Dean Ambrose. You know,
right?
That type of thing. Yeah. You know, like I said, now if their women's division had, I don't know, Charlotte Flair, you know, Rosemary, these type of people that are name recognizable people, you know, their women's division would be doing more. But we can't correct that until they make a decision to correct it. All right, so. But, yeah, name recognition helps. And, look, like you said, if they drop The Fiend, if they drop the, you know, Alexa, along with Alexa Bliss and a few other people that to this place, you know, to NXT, then all bets are off. And you're going to see probably the ratings flip maybe to where –
Anthony, this. What do you think would happen if tomorrow the WWE said we're sending Aleister Black down to NXT where he wants to be? After the Roman Reigns feud, we're going to send Kevin Owens down there because he's requested it several times. We've rehired Enzo Amore and we've rehired Damian Sandow, Aaron Rex, and they're going down there. What do you think happens on Wednesday, Mike?
Oh man, if the ratings don't flip, they come close.
Damn close. And that's exactly my point, damn close. So right now, it's unfair competition. It's almost like saying, well, we're a really popular local band, but Metallica's playing the same night. Well, I'm sorry. I don't care how popular a local band you are. People are going to go see Metallica. Okay? So you're going to have less people at your concert. Well, that's the deal with NXT right now. It's not that they're a worse federation. They put on equally good cards of wrestling. They don't have any name recognition. Anyway, let's move on because we got so much to talk about. Apparently, Nia Jax blew her lines on Monday night. Didn't really blow her lines, but didn't say them the right way. Apparently, when she was given the script and she was supposed to say, wait a minute, you throw me out? Talking to Shayna Baszler, who said, even if it's my tag team partner. She was supposed to do it sarcastically. She was supposed to say, oh, you mean you'd throw your own partner out? Gee, what a revelation. Instead, she said it seriously. You'd throw your own partner out. And it kind of blew the vibe they were trying to get. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't know what the big attraction with Nia Jax is. She's not a good wrestler. She's not extremely good on the mic. As a matter of fact, she's blowing her lines constantly, doesn't even know how to inflect the right lines and have to have the announcers cover for her. I don't know. This is absolutely nepotism at its finest, because if she was not related to The Rock and related to Roman Reigns and all these people, then she's done. She's done. I don't know why Tamina Snuka isn't bigger than she is. But Nia Jax, there's just nothing, I don't know. It makes me wonder. Every time I see her on the screen, I'm like, what is she bringing to the table? She's not bringing anything to the table. gets annoying after a while, Todd, to just hear Nia Jax hurt somebody. Nia Jax blew her line. Nia Jax blew a spot. I mean, she's not a rookie anymore.
Oh, you're absolutely right there, like you said about Nia Jax and everything. Well, like you said, she is not a rookie anymore. She's been in this business for how long? 4 or 5 years? And she's still making mistakes?
Yeah, now I will say this. I've done some acting. And when you get a script, a normal writer will give you a line. For instance, if I get a script and it says, person comes in and says, is your food hot enough? And your line is, oh, yeah, it's super hot. They will put a little asterisk or they will put in parentheses sarcastically. So in other words, you want me to say, oh, yeah, it's really hot. You know, now if they didn't do that, if they just put, oh, yes, it's really hot, I don't know how they want me to say it, so maybe I would say it that way. I don't know. But you see, Nia Jax had to take a look and at least question it and say, am I supposed to say this straight up? Because, of course, she'd want to throw me out. We're not getting along, and it's every woman for herself, so am I supposed to say this in a sarcastic tone? At least ask. If you're confused, ask. But, yes, Mike, I think if the writers didn't put, you know, a little parentheses that said in a sarcastic tone, and, you know, it, a little bit of the fault falls on them.
Right, and here's the thing. We all the time compare her to, a lot of times, sometimes compare her to Tamina. Well, Tamina, I think, would get how to say this stuff. She wouldn't have to ask. I mean, if she put Tamina in the same situation with Shayna Baszler, okay? You know, she would get it. She would get it to the point of, oh, I'm supposed to be saying this way. You know, she's that much more of a veteran. I think she's that much more of a veteran than yeah, she's boring and she's sometimes a wind-up doll and stuff like that, but at least she gets it. Whereas Nia Jax at times just does not get it.
It almost makes me feel, and this is going to lead us into our next subject, but it almost makes me feel as though they keep her around because they want to say, see, we're not like into body shaming. She's a good role model for a heavy set woman, and she's still an athlete, and she's still tough, and see what we do? See how we don't body shame? And this leads me into the next thing, which is The Undertaker being in hot water. Undertaker appeared on the Joe Rogan show where he criticized the WWE product, and he said the WWE product is too soft. And then he gave an analogy, and he said, you know, when I first walked into locker rooms in my rookie days, and there were people in there that were packing guns. There were wrestlers in there that were packing guns. And now I walk in and everybody's playing video games and they're too worried about how pretty they look. And boy, did he get set upon by the social justice warrior wrestlers and the media. Oh, it's so much better to have guns in a locker room than it is to have people playing video games. Oh, it's so much better to have be so nervous you have to literally protect yourself than it is to have a round of Super Mario with your opponent before you go out there. Thanks, Taker. Yeah, you're real smart. Not what he meant. Now, far be it from me to have to defend The Undertaker. He's a big boy, he can defend himself, but I do get sick of people purposely misinterpreting what someone says, or if you didn't purposely misinterpret it, then you're too dumb to realize what he meant. He didn't mean I would love it if we went back to the days when people were in the locker room with guns. Didn't mean that. What he meant was wrestlers took it so seriously that they thought these guys, my life, my well-being could be in jeopardy at any moment from my fellow workers. We were really in a position where we were in there with tough guys and guys who were, you know, they weren't kidding. And now we're in there with fans who grew up watching it saying, I'd like to be a wrestler one day, and didn't come through that gritty, hard. They didn't pay their dues that way. The Undertaker was saying, I grew up in a time when being in a locker room was dangerous. It wasn't fun. And he's not saying let's return to it. He's saying, I grew up in a time when the locker room was dangerous, and man, you had to watch your back every second. And these guys in the ring, you know, they'd give you a receipt. If you did something wrong, you got it back. And they weren't your friend, most of them, and you really were nervous. So you paid your dues. He's saying these guys aren't paying their dues. Now, quickly, Xavier Woods responds and says, well, I'm glad I grew up in an era where I can play video games and I don't have to worry about guns in the locker room. Come on, Xavier. Don't you have a degree somewhere? You know what The Undertaker meant. Why are you twisting words? Why are you twisting words? And then Undertaker went and said, you know, they're not learning from the old timers. They're learning from young kids. So when they go to wrestling school and your teacher's 30, they're teaching you this new way, which is not a hard-edged way. It's a very soft way. So all of these new wrestlers coming in, they don't have that hard edge to them. They don't have that whatever. He is 100% right. And at no time did he say, we should return to the era where you can't even trust your tag team partner and you got to carry a gun. He never, ever meant that. And to suggest he does is being disingenuous and being a liar. What he meant was, it's very hard back then to have come through the system. So when you got to where you got there because you had the battle scars. You got there because you went through the minefield. You got there because it wasn't no walk in the park in a locker room. That's like some guy saying, well, you know, I now am a bodyguard as a living. I grew up in the mean streets of New York where if you walk through the streets, you better carry a weapon because you were going to get, you know, I grew up in a bad neighborhood. And have them say, oh, I guess he wants every neighborhood to be bad. No, 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 no. They're making an analogy that I was in this business at a time when it wasn't fun. When being in that locker room, you better be a hard ass. Because if you weren't a hard ass, you're going to get your ass beat. You know what that means? That means if Sami Zayn back then was to go in and say, I hate the president, and I don't think this and that, and I think this is dumb, and I think this is stupid, he would have got beat to death. People would have slapped him around like a hockey puck and said, grow up, boy. You're in the big leagues. That's what The Undertaker meant. And he was right. Now everybody that gets a hangnail says, I need 2 weeks to recover emotionally. And then he gets set upon because he said everybody's too worried about looking pretty. And then what about Ric Flair? What about Buddy Rogers? You don't get it, do you? He didn't mean look pretty as a gimmick. He meant everybody's so worried that there's not a scar on them. Everybody's so worried that they don't damage themselves in any way. Everybody's so worried that at the end of their wrestling career, they still look great, that they don't want to do a hard-edged style. He didn't mean they're out there all trying to be Ric Flair. Look at Ric Flair. Does he look pretty to you? You can see the battle scars on his face. It's not what he meant. He meant that nobody wants to sacrifice it anymore. That's why hardcore became, oh, it's so stupid. Oh, it's so dumb. Anybody can do it. It's just dumb. Yeah, because you're too scared to do it because you don't want a scar on your body. It's not dumb. Hardcore wrestling is not dumb. Hardcore wrestling means that you're willing to sacrifice your body for the entertainment of the fans, and that's what the fans appreciated. Now, all of a sudden, it's, well, I'm not even willing to take a hard pump. You know that move you do? That hurts a little bit. I didn't sign up for wrestling, so I would get hurt a little bit. That kind of knocks the wind out of you. Could you do an easier move? I'm complaining that move actually hurts. Nothing in wrestling is supposed to hurt. I didn't sign up for hurt. Is that what you do at football? Then you want to be considered tough guys like football players. So when a football player tackles you, do you say, oh, come on, man, that hurt. I didn't sign up to be hurt. That's not supposed to hurt. Too many people grew up saying wrestling is predetermined, so wrestling is fake, so nothing should hurt ever. And if it hurts, it's your fault. If it hurts, you did something wrong. I don't want to feel anything. I don't even want to feel your knuckles graze me when you throw a punch. Because if it does, that could potentially hurt my skin. I don't want that. Could you put more shock absorbers in the ring because the body slams are starting to hurt a little bit? That's what The Undertaker meant. He meant there's no real tough guys or very few anymore that just says, let's just do this. Go out there and do this. I'm not going to try to kill you, and you're not going to try to kill me, but I imagine at the end of this, we're going to be bruised up and banged up. That's what we do for a living. That's what he meant, Mike, and all of a sudden, everybody's sicking on him like he said something horrible and nasty.
Right, and think about this. There's reasons why people still pay to see Tommy Dreamer. You know?
Mm-hmm.
There are reasons
Terry
why
Funk?
People... Terry Funk. Or there are reasons why people still pay to see Shane Douglas. I mean, a couple years back, Shane Douglas came and did an autograph signing at a local wrestling federation down here. All right? People paid him for his autograph. They know who he is. They know, you know. Long-term wrestling, I mean, look, guys like The Undertaker, Shawn Michaels, to some extent, Triple H, you know, Ric Flair, Hulk Hogan, you know, those guys know. They understand what The Undertaker, and on, you know, what The Undertaker meant. And on the and on the women's side, people like, I don't know, Alundra Blaze, you know, people like that, that are long-term female. Yeah, you want your female wrestlers to look pretty, but, you know, but Alundra Blaze would understand this stuff, you know. She would understand what he's talking about. These guys want their super kicks to look perfect, you know. They want their body slams to look perfect, you know. They're not worth, you know, that generation, the generation you and I grew up with, you know, the Hacksaw Jim Duggins, they didn't care whether or not their body slams were technically, you know, perfect, or their drop kicks were technically perfect, you know. You know, that's what they're under.
You're absolutely right, Mike. I'm telling you, you're absolutely right. Every single time I wrestled, I told my opponent, I'm not out there to hurt you at all. And I hope you're not out there to hurt me, but let's do this. I mean, if you're going to throw a punch, land it. You don't have to land it full force and knock the teeth out of my mouth. And you can pick your spots of, you know, well, if I got to uppercut him in the groin, I got to miss. But if I'm hitting him in the, you know, broad of the shoulders, you can give me a good shot. I want to feel it. If I don't feel it, I'm not going to sell it. Called working stiff, and some people don't like it. And I think The Undertaker is saying today nobody wants to work stiff. That's why everybody complains about Sheamus. Oh, I don't like to wrestle Sheamus. He's a nice guy, but everything hurts. Yeah, well, it's kind of supposed to. It's kind of supposed to. And you build up a little bit of an immunity to it. I trained guys that the very first time they took a chair shot to the back, they were like, oh, my God. That's how hard you're going to hit me. I never want to take one of those again. 2 months later, they were taking five of them and not even flinching. Because it just becomes the new norm where you say, okay, well, my body's built up some tolerance now to this. That's what happens. That's what happens. And that's what fans were used to respect, is that, okay, these guys are taking things I wouldn't take. I remember fans coming up to me saying, I wouldn't do that for all the money in the world. I don't, when I'm landing in barbed wire and ground glass and things. I don't know how you dare do that. I would not do that for all the money in the world. Well, see, that's great. But if there's a guy saying, oh, I'd take that super kick, it doesn't even land. I wouldn't mind taking that move. It doesn't even look like it hurts. You can tell that doesn't hurt. then what makes you special? What makes you a special person? When the fans would say that to me, I took that as a huge compliment because I said, well, they're saying you're doing something I would never do. I couldn't do that. My body would not allow me to do that. So I appreciate that you can and that you do it for us. If everybody can do it and everybody can take it, then what's the point? Then how are you special? That's what The Undertaker meant. Let's get the toughness back in wrestling. That doesn't mean you go out there and brain people and try to hurt them. Far from it. It means you do things that fans say, well, God bless them. I mean, they're pro wrestlers. That's what they do. I wouldn't do it. That's kind of what it's supposed to be. Fans take it the wrong way. Wrestling journalists are taking it the wrong way. Oh, The Undertaker would rather have guns in the locker room. Ah, you idiots. I mean, God almighty, it's bad enough that you're soft. Do you have to be soft in the head, too? You know that's not what he meant. And if you don't know what he meant, then yeah, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you. You got taught wrong. That's all I can tell you. If you're a wrestler and you don't know what he meant, you got taught wrong. If you're a fan and you don't know what he meant, you're just stupid. And you don't get it. Because you never lived through an era where they were like that. You know, it's funny. All you ever hear about now is wrestlers getting beat up in bar rooms and wrestlers getting beat up in fracases. Boy, I'll tell you what. Back in the days when The Undertaker was a rookie, you didn't hear that. You heard, well, one freaking wrestler took five guys out in a bar. Haku was throwing people around like they were rag dolls, and a Big Dick Dudley had, you know, squashed an entire football team by himself, and Ken Patera knocked 14 cops on their ass that tried to arrest them. And, no. Now you hear, it was a fair fight one-on-one, and so-and-so got his ass beat because he's not really a tough guy. He's just pretending to be one. Okay, well, everybody doesn't have to be a tough guy. But you got to respect the ones that are, and you got to understand it's a tough business. When it stops being a tough business and starts being a cream puff business, then I don't understand. Why are we following people that we consider to be cream puffs then? I'm not saying everyone. There's tough guys in wrestling right now. I can name you some. There's a lot of tough guys in wrestling. But there's a lot of people, too, in wrestling that's, oh, I don't want anything that even remotely hurts, or I won't take it. That's why Brock Lesnar is still a big draw, because everybody knows at the end of the day he's a badass and he will fuck you up. That's why he's a big draw. He's not a good wrestler. He don't even talk on the mic. But they know. They know. Anyway, on to NXT and AEW. AEW once again beats NXT in the ratings by a little over 100,000. Proof positive, of course, that politics has nothing to do with wrestling, because this is the day there was an inauguration and a great big gigantic celebration, and nobody really watched it. They just went back to watching wrestling, so please don't tell me how the events before in the last couple of weeks affected wrestling. I don't believe it. AEW comes out on top fairly easily, but NXT still does see a ratings boost from last week. Now, as far as NXT, was there anything to recommend? I mean, it's a good show. There's good quality wrestling on the show. They're doing the right things. They're making the right moves. Does anybody want to see Timothy Thatcher and Tommaso Ciampa as a team? I guess. I don't know. It's not doing anything for me that I'm like, oh, I can't wait to tune in next week. Okay. They're going to be a team. That's your, like, teaser. That's your closing thing. Oh, my God. Okay. Over in AEW. Okay, you know, it's business as usual. Business as usual. And we're going to get a six-man tag, I guess, with Moxley. Okay. Is that going to make me, you know, anxious to tune in? Not really. Not really. It's... I feel as though AEW and NXT are on a treadmill. And they're going on a steady pace, but they're not getting any faster. And I don't know if they're going to. I'm beginning to think, I mean, AEW is no rookie to the TV show either. They're going to introduce a new hour soon. It's not going to be on the same show, though. It's going to be on a different day. It'll be very interesting to see what that day is. And I don't see their ratings going up. I mean, they'll go up, and then they'll go down, and then they'll stay about the same, and they'll go up, 30,000, 40,000, and then down, and then up, and then down. I don't see this steady build toward 1 million. NXT's never going to break 1 million unless they get a whole bunch of names down there. So at this stage, Mike, I'm looking at both of these federations, and I'm saying, they're on a treadmill. They've got their core group of fans, and I don't know if they're going to break out in any way, shape, or form and actually become bigger than this in the near future.
Right, and that's the thing. And to tell you the truth, yeah, they got the AEW got the better ratings, but you know what the spot of the night was? The spot of the night was Casey Cannizzaro.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, that whatever they call, whatever they're going to call that move that she did, they better protect it because it looks like it would hurt, you know. And it looks like it would be something that would put you away, you know. So they better protect it. And when she singles, if she hits it, the woman she hits it on better stay down unless it's maybe somebody like Io Shirai or somebody like that. They better protect it. That's all I got to say. But I enjoyed it. I agree with you on that.
And you got to remember, Mike, Catanzaro is one of these women who have always been impressive. Some of her moves and her athleticism, especially her gymnastic athleticism, has been remarkable.
Right, and that's the thing. And I don't know. I know what they were trying to do with the female Dusty Rhodes Classic, right? I get that, you know. And really, they don't have enough tag teams in the company as a whole, female tag teams in the company as a whole to run this thing, let alone down in NXT. So they had to bring some people
right
over from NXT UK and stuff like Toni Storm and guys like that. I did enjoy what they did with that, though, with Io Shirai, though.
Yeah, me too. And I'm surprised Toni Storm isn't a bigger star, to be honest with you. She has that it factor, I think, that makes people want to watch her. And I think if you pushed her in the right way, I think she could be very big. I really do. We do want to touch on the AEW guys calling out WWE to a certain extent. One of them, I forget who, tweeted, so you can just automatically declare yourself for the Royal Rumble. Then why doesn't everybody do it instantly? It's for a title shot at WrestleMania. The minute that they announce the Royal Rumble, why doesn't every single person in WWE simply say, I'm declaring myself? And what about the legends that are going to be in there? What about the surprise entrance? How do they declare themselves? And they started making fun of it, basically saying, it's dumb because you're going to have legends. When did they declare themselves? So a legend can declare themselves, but Ricochet can't. Some guy who hasn't wrestled in 10 years can declare himself, but Ricochet can't, which is a proper criticism if it's coming from fans. I don't like it when it's coming from a rival federation that looks petty and childish. Do you remember when you guys had a Texas death match and you got counted out? Since when in the history of a Texas death match can you be counted out? So there's plenty of ammunition to throw back at you, AEW. I don't like the fact that AEW is becoming smarmy. And then I think Anderson and Gallows got in on it and said, I guess we might as well declare. Anybody can declare, right? We're going to declare we're in the Royal Rumble. Yesterday I watched a video of Tatanka doing an interview. Not my favorite person. I had a run-in with Tatanka once. He didn't do anything to me personally, but to an autistic kid that was sitting about four seats away. that I actually called WWE on the carpet for then. I actually went to their road manager that night, and they actually made Chris Chavez, who's Tatanka, apologize to that kid. He spit directly in his face. So I'm not a big fan of Tatanka. But I guess as he's aged, he's gotten a little smarter. And he said something that I agree with 1,000%. And he said, at the end of the day, you can say what you want about Vince McMahon. You can say what you want about how he used you. You can say what you want about how it was a stereotypical character and it was making fun of Indians or it was politically incorrect or it's this, it's that, it's the other thing. When I go to a convention to sign autographs, it's because that man gave me an opportunity to become a superstar, a larger-than-life character, who I'm still remembered as. So when I go to these conventions at 50-some-odd years old, people are still in line for my autograph because of that opportunity. And they're not making stars like that anymore. They're not making guys that 10 years down the road, 20 years down the road, people are going to line up for and remember that character. They're just going to say, oh, yeah, you wrestled for WWE. Yeah, okay. With some exceptions. He talked about how The Undertaker became that character, and for life he set, and how, you know, each person that went through there that was given a character that was so memorable that in their 50s and 60s and 70s, they're still going to be at conventions making big money signing autographs, and that was because of Vince McMahon. Whether you liked the character or you hated the character or you thought the character was in some way politically incorrect or you thought it was beneath you, you played the character, and because of that character, you now have a following. He likened it to an actor, and he said, you know, maybe an actor thinks this character is dumb, that they're playing on a TV show, and they, oh, you know, it's beneath me. I'm a serious actor, and I'm playing this. But if that's what you get remembered as, and for 30 years, people still want your autograph. They still want to talk to you. They still want to be around you because of that. How can you say it was wrong? And Todd, I think he's hit the nail on the head here.
Oh, you're absolutely right. Like you said about that interview with Tatanka, about at the end of the day, you can say what you want, but if you're on the clock with them, you got to go by what they say.
Not only that, but you're given the opportunity to now, 25 years down the road, Mike, still be making money off that name.
Right. And think about it. I told you about the whole thing with Shane Douglas, right? Earlier. They were lined up at least five deep to get his autograph that day. And he wasn't. It was a $20-$25 autograph. It wasn't a cheap autograph, all right? You know,
right.
They were lined up. And so people know, even to some extent, some of these guys in ECW, right, they know who they are. Tommy Dreamer, Shane Douglas, you know, guys like that. Well, maybe they don't. Sandman, it's known by his face. The Dudleys, you know. Those people, they know who they are, you know, and that's what you know. That's how you know you're going to be a big guy is 25, 50 years down the line when you're going down to Baton Rouge, Platinum, Louisiana, and appearing in less than, you know, before less than 100 people and still getting them to line up for your autograph. That's how you
right.
know you got it, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, look, the ECW guys, did they have a high profile? No, but they had a hardcore group of fans who understood that those guys were sacrificing their body, really were, sacrificing their body for their entertainment, and so they appreciated it, and they respected it. That's why their hardcore style was so popular. Because those fans in that audience were saying, I don't know how Terry Funk at 65 years old is moonsaulting through a table in the audience. I don't know how. But he's doing it. And you got to respect the man. Holy crap, man. He's 60-some-odd years old. He's moonsaulting through a table. You know that's got to hurt him. You know that that's got to be taking a horrible toll on his body. And he's just like, hey, this is my life. This is what I do. You have to respect that. Today it's laughed at. No, you don't have to respect that. That guy's a fool. He's a fool. I wouldn't take a bump like that in a million years. Well, maybe you shouldn't be a wrestler. Because you know what? Wrestling isn't supposed to be powder puff. That's, again, what The Undertaker was trying to say. Wrestling isn't supposed to be about stroking your ego and making you look like a tough guy when you aren't. Wrestling is supposed to be about entertainment and the fans realizing you can do things they can't. Now, in some cases, you take a guy like Ricochet. Maybe he's not going to take a ton of punishment, but I can take a look at him and say, I know for a fact I could train all I want. I'm not doing that move. I can't do that. My body doesn't work that way. So you can respect that and say, wow, he has a lot of athleticism and you know, gymnastic abilities. Really, it's remarkable. But you can also take a guy like Cactus Jack or Tommy Dreamer and say, man, I think if I did that night after night after night, my body would just collapse and I would die, you know. There are fans who used to tell me, I don't understand how the Sandman takes this kind of abuse, you know. If I'm raking leaves and my back hurts, how in the world can that guy take that? Well, that's the point. We're looking at them as larger than life because we're saying they're doing things we can't do. But if we look at them and say, well, we can all do this, how are we supposed to have that same respect? Okay, it's cool that guys are playing video games in the locker room. I want these guys to get along. I don't want there to be a combative attitude. What I want there to be is an idea that once we get out into that ring, I don't expect you to treat me like I'm made out of glass. And I'm not going to treat you like you're made out of glass because I'm not going to insult you. I never insulted a person I worked with in my life. When I hit them a decent amount. So they knew, they felt it. Did I purposely try to hurt them? Absolutely not. Farthest thing from my mind. What I did want to show is that they're tough. Because if I hit a fan the same way I hit that guy, I remember one incident where we literally were training people. And I had one of my guys body slam a guy, and he said, are you telling, that's how hard you're going to slam me? And I said, well, yeah, that's a normal body slam. Forget it. I'll never be able to do this. That freaking hurt. Well, that's what separates people who want to be professional wrestlers from people who don't. Now, if we said, don't worry, we'll make a special exception and we won't slam you. No, you let the guy walk out the door. You tell him, I'm sorry, this isn't for you then. That's how hard you're going to hit me? I thought you weren't going to even land a shot on me. I thought it was all fake. No, my friend, it's all predetermined. It's not all fake. Yes, that's how hard I'm going to hit you. Well, that's too hard. I'm not going to take punches like that. Okay, then you don't belong being a professional wrestler. Again. It's not like I'm braining you with a punch, but you're going to feel it. If I'm going to punch you directly in the face, I'm going to miss you. I'm going to open up my fingers and just touch you with my fingers and then close my fist back. If I'm going to hit you in the groin, it's the same thing. But if I'm just pounding on your chest or I'm hitting you in the back, yeah, you're going to get a good shot. Because you're supposed to get a decent shot. Somebody tells me, well, you know, my arm hurts, stay away from that. Okay, that's not a problem. I got a bad leg, don't do anything to the left leg. Okay. But I'm not going to disrespect you by giving you a love tap and expecting you to fall outside the ring backwards, holding your head like, oh, my God, I've been hit with a sledgehammer, because that's dumb. And that's what fans laugh at. And if they laugh at it, then it's not respected. If I pick up a chair and I just go, tap, and anybody says, oh my God, he never even, my God, my grandmother could take that shot, then how are you supposed to respect that guy? If I give you a shot that, it, you know, rings out throughout the arena, yeah, it's going to hurt you. Then tell me I don't want to take a chair shot. I refuse to take a chair shot, and I won't give you one. But if you tell me, give me a chair shot, I'm giving you a decent one. So that those fans in that arena can, or that building can say, yeah, I wouldn't let nobody hit me like that. That's crazy. I mean, I heard that. That has to hurt. Yeah, because that's how you gain your respect of the fans. Right now, wrestlers don't have a lot of respect from the fans. You see it all the time. Oh, they blew this move. Oh, that sucked. Oh, this guy's not good. I see it on social media all the time. They haven't earned your respect. In fact, they've lost. You've lost their respect because of this. So that's what The Undertaker meant when he said, toughen up, man. You know, let's do this thing. If you're going to wrestle, let's do it. If you're just out here to, you know, pity-pat around, find something else to do, man. Whatever you can contribute. If you're Ricochet and you can contribute these high-flying moves and you can do the athleticism that impresses the fans and gives them the respect, do it. But if you're fighting me, don't expect me to love tap you either. Because if I have to sell this flippity-floppity move, then when I punch you, I'm going to make it good enough so you say, okay, well, yeah, that would sting, yeah. That's my philosophy, and I think that's The Undertaker's philosophy. Anyway, let's rate these various shows. AEW this week I thought was pretty good. I think they're, you know, cranking toward some better stuff. Let's put it that way. I thought this is a show that's starting to, you know, let's build up for something in the future. All the action was good. They've got the names. They got the ratings. I'm going to give it a B, a flat B. As far as NXT, the Dusty Rhodes Classic is not what it used to be. It left me a little bit cold. Some of these teams are literally just like thrown together last minute. I'm going to give that a B minus. Mike, what's your thoughts?
I got to give you the same grade, a B and a B minus, and frankly, if we didn't see what Casey Canizero did at the end of that match, it'd probably be a C, you know, because of that. And
yeah,
you're right. And look, in terms of the guys from Japan that can do this stuff, Asuka can work stiff if you allow her to, and so can Nakamura. You know,
sure.
but they're coming from a different place though. They're coming from basically Japan is more old school than America is. Right?
Oh, absolutely, Mike. I remember guys like Stan Hansen and stuff on interviews saying, if you went down to Japan during my era, they beat the hell out of you. And this is coming from guys who were beating the hell out of guys in America pretty good. And then they were saying, oh, man, you think we were beating guys pretty good? You go down to Japan and see what was happening. They were kicking your ass in that ring. That's what wrestling was back then, Mike, and that's, I think, why some of the magic is gone.
Right, and like I said, if you – I mean, we've seen bits and pieces of it with, like, Nakamura when he does his thing, or basically when Asuka with that spinning back fist, that when she hits you with it, when she hits somebody with it, they generally go down with it unless you're Nia Jax. Everybody else goes
right
down with it. And basically the same thing with Keith Lee when he hits him with people with that Grizzly Magnum thing, you know?
Sure. And I'd like to say one more thing about Asuka too, and I'm sure you'll probably agree with me. Maybe you won't. I was watching her channel again, and I said to myself, you know the WWE is doing something wrong with a worker when watching her make a pizza is more fun than watching her wrestle. I literally watched her make a pizza, and I said, this is very entertaining. Watching her not know how to make a pizza, but doing the best she can to make a pizza, was actually more entertaining, Mike, than the stuff they give her to do.
Absolutely. And, I mean, at one point, they were on the right track with her at one point, and then, I mean, to tell you the truth, once they put anybody in there with her, Nia Jax, and we know what Nia Jax tends to do, not sell people and all that stuff. You know, that's the thing. I mean, yeah, Nia Jax made that mistake. She's made mistakes after mistakes, but the big one, the biggest one was breaking what's her name's nose, you know?
Becky Lynch's
nose.
Well, also, you got to realize, though, that when Charlotte Flair came back, Asuka was put on the back burner, Mike. You could see it. I mean, it literally, she was the focal point of the women's division until Charlotte came back, and now it's like, yeah, Asuka who?
Yeah. And we know what We know why that is. They're afraid of losing Charlotte.
You're absolutely correct. I would be more afraid of losing Asuka. I'm telling you, the WWE has gold with her. They gave her the wrong image. They gave her this mean, dark, impossible to beat, mysterious Oriental woman who just said, nobody's ready for Asuka. And they didn't realize what a personality she has. And I think they do now realize it, but they're not sure what to do with it. And I'm telling you, you've got some gold if because she is one of those people who can work in a ring too. So now she could deliver a great match and deliver some quality stuff for you outside the ring. And I don't know why you're not taking advantage of it. I just don't know why. If I had somebody who had the kind of personality that I saw making a pizza or getting her hair done, I'd say, oh, man, I got gold. Because if you can get that many people to watch somebody make a friggin' pizza, then for God's sake, you can get them to come to the arena to watch her to wrestle. You just got to make sure you use her correctly, unfortunately. Todd, what's your ratings for NXT and AEW this week?
I got to give a flat B and a B minus.
Okay, so a flat B and a B minus. Basically, everybody's in contention. I think AEW won again. I think AEW is going to win almost every week. You're going to see these one shots in NXT where you say, oh, that was great. That was a great match, or that was a great move, because they got great athletes over there, no question. But I think AEW is just going to continue to, for the most part, win unless they have a really lousy show. Because they've just got the names alone. And now that they're merging a little bit with Impact, they're going to get even more names. You got Anderson and Gallows going back and forth over there now. Don't tell me those aren't names. Those are huge names to wrestling fans. You're coming very, very close to the Bullet Club. You're Finn Balor away, really, from the Bullet Club. And I'll tell you what, man, that's still a very big draw to a lot of people. So, yeah, I mean, they're outdrawing NXT, and they're always going to, until the WWE firmly commits and says, no, we won't have this. We're sending down major talent to NXT to work in with the guys who don't really have the big names. If you do that, then maybe you can catch up to AEW. Until then, you're not going to. You're just not going to. Anyway, folks, thanks for listening. We'll be back here on Sunday with more.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Wrestling Chat Radio is a Savage Blade production.